This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. Visual artist Natasha Powell Walker draws people in her drawings and into her paintings and illustrations with bright, exuberant colors. By hooking them with aesthetics, she's actually employed a sneaky tactic. She says her art's real purpose is to start a conversation about the many sides of women's character and the world that judges them. In her new exhibit, she depicts women showing a range of roles and emotions, from loud and fierce to evolved and blue. Natasha will display a series of characters that she has created at an exhibit called Sexy Not Silent. It goes up at Duke University's Jameson Gallery this week, and she joins us now. Natasha Powell Walker, welcome to The State of Things.
Hi, Frank. Thanks for having me.
Tell us more about these ideas that you've had and observations that you made about the way women are seen and the very few roles that they're given to embody and perform.
I think it's challenging. I think as women have gone, we've always been very critical to history and the way that the world survives. But now that we're in corporate America, we own our own business, we are entrepreneurs, it can be tricky trying to figure out how to navigate the rules, the waters. We go to work and we are seen as hardened or as we can put some people off because we're more disciplined in that work environment as opposed to maybe the nurturing side that individuals are used to when we're coming home or those traditional roles that we might have as the caregiver, being a wife, being a mom. Those are two totally different things, and I think it can be conflicting to have to be one way when you go to work from 9 to 5 and then come home at 6 o'clock in the evening and almost flip a switch and take care of the household.
Well, so. And you've even pointed out that binary by its very nature is also sort of not fair and not quite the right way to see yourself, right?
Absolutely, because that's others people's views of being imposed onto who we are and how we see ourselves. So I think what happens is we are raised as girls to have this narrative of we're supposed to grow up and get married and have kids and take care of them. But then what happens if we don't want that? What happens if we want to just have a career or if we want to have both things? We don't necessarily have to be the caregiver. There's no reason why the man can't be the caregiver just as well or do things around the house, clean the house, take care of the kids. It's really a trade-off. Like what was traditionally seen and then in the 1950s, is not necessarily the state of things today.
So tell us how this is reflected in your art.
So throughout my art pieces, I have several different characters that they embody one sense or another. So you might have somebody like a fierce character who she's quite sassy and she talks about how she can do anything and, be anything to anybody, kind of like transcend these traditional roles, where you have somebody like a character Blue, where she's really dealing with the conflict of the struggle of how do I process this, how do I figure it out, this whole struggle between being fierce or, wanting to go out and tackle the world versus wanting to stay home if that's what you want to do and take care of your kids or of your husband. So the characters all just represent different pieces of women and the different things that we go through. So some characters might be more serious, some are more playful. You even have some that are quite angry characters like Scream, where she's literally, or Loud, where they're screaming out in anger because they're not quite sure where they fit in.
Let's talk more about these individually, of the piece Fierce, for instance. Maybe I can ask you to describe it for us, and I know there's also a poem that's included with this piece.
Yes, so Fierce is, if you look closely, if you get a chance to see the exhibit, she actually has two different hairstyles going on within her. One is very relaxed, and then one is more natural, and that kind of goes back to the whole what we've been through as women and just kind of fashion culture changes. We have that relaxed area where we all like relaxed our hair and roller set it, and it was curly, and that was what was seen as the proper way to do things versus the new age, the natural, not putting those products in our hair, letting it be free, wild, just who we're meant to be. So Fierce was actually actually one of the very first women that I did within the series, and I really wanted her to just be striking. Like, she has these piercing green eyes, and a lot of time, and that was done very intentionally, because black women are often seen as, we have to look a certain way, and we come in many different shades with many different eye colors, lips, just our facial features. It doesn't have to fit into one thing. So Fierce actually has several different components going on with her. And then the poem that she has that goes along with her, I'll read some of it for you. It starts out by, "Fire from within, burning the midnight oil, destined to obtain dreams only imagined as a young child. Worldly human spouting venomous material, attempting to keep her from what our king has already preordained. Falling to her knees, she asks for guidance, strength, and wisdom, guidance to choose a righteous path, strength to cast out negativity and self-destruction, wisdom to see through a fallen angel's mass distractions, external perfection combined with an internal insecurity. She makes the choice to fight another day." And what that poem does is it kind of reiterates the different choices that we have to make as women on a daily basis, and then hearing from the world whether they think those choices are right, regardless of how we feel. We might think that we can go out and conquer the world, as we can, but of course, unfortunately, we have to deal with a lot of negative feedback that comes with that. You know, there's still a lot of boys clubs in corporate America, in media, just everywhere, and we have to be able to figure out how to process that for ourselves.
Well, and it came home to you once when a man asked you a question about how you achieved your success, right?
Oh, it did. So it was actually one of my first shows. I had a man come up to me. He was an artist as well, a male artist, and he asked me if people took me seriously because I was physically attractive. And being that that was one of my first shows and I was so excited, I didn't really know how to process that. I think being in the game a while now, like 10 years looking back, I wish I would have handled the situation differently and stood up for myself and say, absolutely, people take me seriously because my work is good. It's about the work. It's not about what I look like. And so that just kind of took it a step further for me to say, okay, I think this really is something that needs to be addressed. It's not something that just happens to me. It happens to women all over the globe as far as our people taking them seriously. Are people taking their what they're going through seriously, their issues seriously?
Well, and
what that is.
Interestingly enough, not only in the corporate world, but also in the world of art, as you just demonstrated.
Absolutely. It's still very male-heavy. There's a far fewer female artists that are represented on a global scale than there are male artists, and it's an uphill battle where we kind of have to fight to prove that we belong there, and we belong there just as much.
And if I look back at this, at the piece Fierce, which we were talking about a second ago, and I look at that expression, on the one hand, this is a woman who has thoroughly embraced her identity. You can see by the look in her eye that she's not going to take anything from you and that she is very comfortable with the way she is. But subtly, you also realize that she has to have that face. In other words, it's a reaction to the world reacting to her, and we don't know exactly what she might be thinking if she weren't forced to confront a world that's putting her in a box. So it does, even though she's taken some ownership, it is also a reactive kind of a stand as well.
Absolutely. She has to have this shell, if you will, this hardened exterior that I think we do as black women a lot of times, because we don't know what's going to come at us from an outside perspective, or how people are going to treat us, or if they're going to believe us when we talk about things like being sexually assaulted in the Me Too movement. Like, how do we deal with that? So we have to build up this wall to go out into everyday life, and that's totally different than what we might feel on the inside, or how we feel when we come home and we're surrounded by those who love us.
A new piece that you are unveiling for this exhibit is called Unchained. Tell us about that one.
Yes, so Unchained, for me, it speaks to this whole coming into who you are as a woman, dealing with your sexuality and being proud of it, taking the chains off, as you will. There was a fashion designer during the Me Too movement that made a comment of, if women dressed more conservatively, maybe they would not have to endure the sexual assault they have in corporate America. And I found that to be extremely offensive because we shouldn't be judged by how we dress or how we look physically, yet we are by some people still. So the thought behind this piece is her hair is long and it's flowing, and she actually has tears coming down her eyes because she is fighting against all of these stigmas and just trying to free herself. And she gets to a point where it's like, now I'm free. I don't have to deal with other people's perceptions of who I should be and how I should act.
You have said that you draw inspiration from a range of artistic sources, political and social issues, and that the environment here in the Durham area in the Triangle is something that you have found refreshing and nourishing.
Yes, the cross-collaboration between the different artists in the Triangle, I think, has been magnificent. Like, people aren't afraid to get in there and work with one another and kind of push each other or inspire each other. And that's very refreshing, I think, to be able to see visual artists or musicians just be able to cross-collaborate like that.
You are planning to interview, in fact, Grammy-nominated music producer and North Carolina native Ninth Wonder in a conversation at Duke tomorrow. Another one of the artists who is part of that scene that you just described. What do you plan to ask him?
I plan on asking him how he feels about the current music scene in Durham, in the Triangle, locally, and kind of how do you get from going from the local scene to a national Grammy Award-winning platform, and even more so as an artist, how do you make sure that your work stays relevant? Like, Ninth Wonder has been around for quite a while now, and it's one thing to make music for other people that's relevant, but I think he does a fantastic job of kind of staying true to his creative process. So just trying to figure out from his perspective, how does he manage to make that happen?
Another artist who had been on Ninth's label was Rhapsody, whose latest album is Layla's Wisdom, and I understand that you were influenced by that as well.
Yes, the entire album is phenomenal, but she has one song in particular called Sassy, and I think I played that song on repeat when finishing up a few of the pieces for the current exhibit. One line in particular that is in the chorus, it goes something like, "Diamonds between my knees, oil wells in my thighs, does my sassiness upset you? Oh, you mad because I survived?" And it actually is in reference to Maya Angelou's Still I Rise poem, and it's just, again, it's reiterating this entire notion of I am my own woman. I don't need somebody else's approval, and I'm going to walk my path regardless of if you try and hinder me.
This exhibit, and so we talked about the fact that it was an artist who confronted you with that suggestion that it was your looks that got you where you are. On the other hand, the arts are a way through this. What do you think is the impact of the arts and the art community on engaging this conversation and maybe moving the conversation forward?
I think the arts are a way to bring people to the table who might originally be on different sides of the table. Everybody seems to come together around art, and it just kind of it provides an easy way in. So the great thing about a lot of art exhibits or just art in general is people from all walks of life tend to enjoy it, whether that's visual art or whether it's music. And so to be able to bring those people in the same room and move us to be able to have more important conversations.
Not all artists have to be so public-facing and so engaged with political and social issues. Is that important to you? Do you find it that it generates some kind of creativity? Can it be a drag on you as well, the fact that you're sort of always having to answer these questions? How does that play out for you as an artist?
I think it's important as an artist to have the time where you take a step back from being public-facing so that you're not always dealing with the questions and you have time to create. But it's equally as important for me to go out and talk about the work so people understand where my point of view was, and to let the women who come after me know that they can do it too. I've been fortunate enough to come across quite a few younger girls who are still in grade school who just never thought that it was an option as a black woman to be an artist, and I think I changed that for them, and that's a pretty powerful thing. So I just hope to be able to continue to do that.
What's next for you?
Um, so So for me, I actually would love to do a documentary component for this visual arts exhibit that would be to find women from different corners of the world to interview and figure out what makes them sexy, not silent, and have them speak on it, regardless of whether they're in Africa or California, New York, London, just wherever, what brings us all together.
All right. Will you come back when that's finished? We'll talk to you again.
Absolutely.
Natasha Powell Walker, a Durham-based visual artist, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you for your time.
Natasha will be interviewing music producer Ninth Wonder in a public conversation at Duke University tomorrow night. Her exhibit, Sexy Not Silent, will be up at Duke's Jameson Gallery starting this week, and she's going to deliver an artist talk next Thursday, January 25th. And you can find out about all of that and much, much more at our website, stateofthings.org. And we're taking your calls for our next Movies on the Radio. The theme for this month's edition is money. Films about money, films that were not about money, making it, losing it, whatever film that you saw and liked primarily, but maybe a film that you hated about money, you can email your favorite to SOT@WUNC.org. You can tweet us with hashtag SOTMovie to give us your favorite movie about money. Movies on the Radio coming up. The State of Things is produced by Anita Rao, Laura Pelliser, Jennifer Brookland, Robert Kinlaw, Angie Perrin, and Amanda Magnus. Robin Copley is our technical director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.